I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/acast. That's burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive and June. Olive and June gives you everything that you need for a salon quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Yeah.
So how does this work, Doran?
She's learned now. Now she asks.
I'll have to take you to see the cloud giant.
God, I love when that happens.
Free beer.
Oh, no, I'm not talking about libertarianism right now.
Well, enjoy yourself. Enjoy yourself, Red.
Oh, yeah, I'm in. Oh, wait.
There goes our advantage.
So you got me an axe rack.
Yeah, well, there's Jack. I better go see him.
Yeah, I mean, I do.
You're the hero. Go, go.
You're not my dad, Jack. You're not my dad.
You've been a true Iron Fist, standing up for the rights and wrongs.
Red cast silence. Just to make all this easier for Edley.
Red's got real sympathy with that editor. I don't know where he's at.
Welcome back to Dice Shame. This is season 2, episode 87, Bottoms Up.
MVP this week is Merrick's Moon. Merrick's has just started their Dice Shame journey, and I believe they're in the early teens. They're contributing to the Discord with a live blog and already some wonderful fan art. Thank you so much for joining us, Merrick's. You are this week's MVP.
Congratulations.
All right, should we play some D&D?
Yeah, let's do it.
Woo!
Ha-ha!
And they were roommates.
What is that from that you keep saying?
It's from like a vine or something.
Yeah, it's from an old bike. It's some girl. Some girl.
Oh, she's walking down the street.
Like, yeah.
And they were roommates.
And then he's like, and they were roommates.
I remember that vine. Man, I wish Vine was still a thing.
I know.
TikTok is too long. I only want 6 seconds.
Beaten out by TikTok. I just don't like any of the TikTok content. It's all like fucking dancing. I don't give a shit about dancing. I like dumb jokes.
The constraint of 6 seconds or whatever it was is requires something different than the constraint of 1 minute.
Yeah.
I get TikTok the way any elder millennial does, by waiting for people on Instagram to repost TikToks they like in their stories.
Thank you.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's exactly.
The best. I like try TikTok. It's funny because the other night I couldn't sleep, so I was like, okay, I'll go on TikTok and see what it's got, and because I wanted to watch caving videos.
It was just the urge that came over you.
Harlan scares himself to sleep.
It's like a big hug by a rock.
No.
But like YouTube, obviously I can do it, and then it'll be like one or two long videos. But I was like, what can TikTok offer? And I'll tell you, it was awful. I mean, like, you'd get a good video and you'd scroll, and then it would be unrelated, and then it'd be like the same video someone reposted, and it's like flipped image. Caving guy gets trapped or whatever, and you're like, oh, this is not, it's all carb heavy, like, you know, there's no nourishment, it's just like that 10 seconds of, and it's funny too because I saw the same video like posted 3 times, all with like different captions. Like one was like guy gets trapped, and then like the first one was like expert caver, and I was like, wait, did he get trapped or is he an expert? Those are two very different
trapped
narratives.
Guy.
Somebody got this video to the internet.
Yeah,
so either
exactly.
He had a connection underground or,
well, and then I watched the whole video on YouTube, and it's like a caver father and son that are professionals, and they have a ton of them, and it was just like
one
moment where he got like a little stuck, and they just snipped that out. And
it was sensational enough.
Mm-hmm. That's the way it
I was trying to find the video that my sibling sent me that was a guy who was in like a squeeze in a cave, and there was like 80 bajillion spiders, and he was like, yeah, whatever. And I was just like,
oh no.
And both of us just were like, I think I would just die. Yeah. That's it.
There's a limit of like so many spiders within 5 feet of me, and suddenly I expire.
They were all big, and they covered every surface. It is truly a nightmare.
I feel like there's a spider threshold, though. Like, to me, like, one or two is really icky. If you're covered in, like, a million, like, 1,000, you're just kind of like, okay, this is now spiders. Like, I'm covered in it now.
I am now the spider.
How do so many spiders survive?
All
so
you
close
have
together?
To do is start eating them, because then the spiders are going to realize that you're the dominant.
You're the predator.
And they're going to leave.
I see.
I'm the biggest spider.
I don't know why that got
me. There's like caves that like will be in the middle of the woods, and the first opening passages, all the spiders will like be down there. So what will happen is like the first little area or the crawl through to like the open area is all spider heavy because that's where they're
right. And then at night they come out to hunt or whatever.
Yeah, and howl at the moon. I was gonna say, Alex, did you get new glasses?
I did. Yeah.
Yeah, they look good.
No, thanks.
It's hard to tell because your picture is so dark.
I know. I like it dark in here.
He's haunting the...
When'd you get them?
Last week sometime.
Nice.
Yeah. Went for an eye exam.
Rob, you had a good vacation?
Oh, yeah. Tell us all about your vacation.
I had a really good...
I thought you were going to say, oh, yeah, tell us all about your eye exam.
I love a good eye
Sorry,
exam
Sorry, Rob.
Story.
Pushed him out of the frame. Exactly. What eye exam?
Get
Give
this
me
cat
deets.
Out of the way.
Fuck you, Dominican Republic.
I had a really good vacation, and then I made a fatal flaw at the Santo Domingo airport.
You bought a timeshare.
And had lunch.
Oh.
And then had the most surreal 60 hours of my life as lunch and everything else left the body.
Oh, no.
On the way home. You know, I had a perfect time on the way there, had a perfect vacation, had 5 lovely days in paradise. We're leaving. We're at the airport waiting. We're like, fuck, we're not going to get anything to eat until like we get home at 11 o'clock. We should have something here. So we go to the Carl Jr.'s and think, this has got to be fine. Rach is fine the whole time. I don't know what was on my burger, whether the lettuce or onion or something on there was contaminated or what, but 5 hours later when we got to Newark, I found every bathroom on the way to go get my bag, get it through customs, get it the way back. And then like when I got home, Rach said I was the Homer Simpson who'd just eaten the sandwich. And, and I was trying to, like,
you
just had the
thing.
Last 2 days I didn't get out of bed.
No.
Today is the first day I feel like a human again.
Damn you, Carl's Jr.
Oh. That's my first experience with the Carl's Jr., I'll tell you that. But like I've never had food poisoning like this. I don't know what it was. There was no drug that would help. It was just awful.
I've only had food poisoning once, and it was in my 8th grade field trip to Quebec City.
Oh, no.
And I remember it was like day 2, And it was like, I don't even know what time in the morning, 2 a.m. And I remember because I had my shoes laid out, my backpack laid out all next to the bed because we had to get up early, blah, blah. And I woke up mid-vomit.
Oh, shit.
I vomited all over my things.
Oh.
There were three other kids in the room. And my best friend, Tommy, he opened his eyes, grabbed his blanket, walked to the other side of the room and just laid down.
Well, thanks, Tommy.
Eighth grade boys are ill-equipped to deal with that.
I mean, yes. You're not
most
wrong.
Boys
you need a mom to take care of the situation.
I threw up in the sink. I threw up in the bathtub, and I was stuck to the bowl of the toilet, throwing up into the bathtub next to me.
Horrible.
It was all night long, but the funniest part was because like the teachers were really like, you know, we're going to tape the doors. No one comes out. We'll know if anyone snuck out of the room at night, and everyone get ready. And all the other kids woke up, and they were getting ready, and they were like, oh, do you need help? Oh, no. Okay, fine. They all left. And then the teacher came in like so angry, like, are you not ready to go?
What the fuck is wrong
with
you?
Yeah, it like stopped dead in his tracks and was like, how did you... Oh God! And then saw like the
vomit
throw up
everywhere,
and they were just like, "Oh God!"
You threw up in your shoes, didn't you?
Yeah,
war zone.
Oh, yeah.
I remember. I was so self conscious.
Oh, you poor thing.
Well, and the thing was, there was a wonderful woman who was like a parent volunteer that came that basically took care of me like a mother. You know what I mean? She was like, "Hey, don't worry, like sleep. Here's water." But it was amazing. She like, I don't even think she got the hotel to clean it up. I think she cleaned up a lot of it, which was just, you know, the most motherly thing. And I remember I missed the whole next day, which they were all like, went to the water park, and I was just stuck in bed. Oh, yeah. But I was so self-conscious the whole ride home because my shoes smelled like throw up.
Aww.
And I was so worried that people could smell them. I remember just being absolutely mortified at that. No one ever said anything. I don't even know if anyone did smell, but it was in my head the whole time. It was a terrible, terrible trip.
Horrifying.
I went to a Saint-Hubert and it betrayed me.
I thought you guys said when you guys were in the Dominican or whatever, you guys had...
Yeah, but I don't... That was one day. Like,
okay, fair.
I guess it was probably also day five.
But it's funny, I do remember the last thing I ate before like being sick, and it was
a dog turd.
That's a good one thing. I found on the ground.
No, but
it's so weird how I got thrown.
No, but and I'm sure you all know the name of it because you're all better Canadians than me. But like the Quebecois have like a really specific crispy type of bacon. Like it's not just bacon crispy because we went to a sugar shack where they pour the melted maple syrup and they do the whole thing. And one of it was just a specific. I could see Nersal googling. So
if
Nersal says it now, for the record, it's a Google.
If I'm not going to do it, Rob's going to do it.
Well, I have no idea. This sounds like a deeply Ontario Quebec thing, and I'm a prairie kid. I don't know any
Fair.
Of this shit.
I mean, that's all I remember
not
reading.
Not sure what this is.
It was just like,
deeply
cut,
crispy
very
bacon.
Crispy, yeah, because I remember being like, oh, I don't like the taste of that.
Le Parc du Québec.
It is funny what people tell you after you tell them, hey, here's this story of my horrible stomach experience. Like I was talking to the guy at work today, and he was like, oh, you know, happened to me too. He closes the door to then tell me the story about him trying to do this archery thing down in the Dominican after a big, you know, shrimp stir fry party, and then he shit himself on the walk on the beach back. I was like, I didn't need this story, sir.
Good
but
Lord.
Thank you for telling me that.
You know what? It's the great humanizer, though. It's really
well,
nice.
For sure. Like, everybody's got...
Prince or pauper, they're all going to be sitting on the pooper. You know what I mean? And it's
at
nice
some
to
point,
think that.
Prince or pooper?
Prince or pooper. I didn't want to jump that far ahead. I needed the 3P alliteration.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. I feel like class trips were such harrowing events. Like,
well,
I don't know. Socially, I had a hard time in school. So to like prep for the idea of being with my classmates for a long period of time was always really stressful. Right?
There's definitely a difference between the like class trips of elementary school and the like band trips or like smaller group trips of high school for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like the choir trip to Banff kicked ass because it was all the weird choir kids going to do a thing, or the, you know, if we had to go to Regina to do the one act festival or something, and it was a whole thing that you were doing, and it was had a real team vibe compared to the here's everybody in a van and we're going to the science center or something, has a different vibe.
Yeah, I think there's more of a reward feeling when you do the thing on vacation than you're like, okay, now the night's free, let's play.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's more dynamics at play, the nervousness, the relief. I'm with you, because I remember doing a music jazz thing in Halifax, which was
that
really,
sounds
really fun.
Cool.
But I will say the best version of all these is being a chaperone on those, because my friend who's a teacher brought me as a chaperone when he was helping a high school class, and they went to Chicago.
Oh, cool.
And I joined as a chaperone, and it was just the best. Because the kids were also, like, old enough, you know, to be that age where you're just like, stop. You know, you're not like a leader where you're like worrying about this
shit. I'm not your dad, but quit being an idiot.
Exactly. Exactly. It's funny, actually, my brother-in-law's younger brother was on that trip.
Oh, wow.
Were you playing a band with him?
What's the name of that band?
Yeah, what's the name of that band? Oh, God.
Bringing it back, baby.
But he tried to get mouthwash because I think he thought he was going to get drunk off it. And I remember
being
a big thing because they were like smuggling.
He's gonna get minty fresh.
There's alcohol in there.
Well, that was the thing, right? And I was like, no, like that's don't do that. You're just gonna make yourself feel so terrible, not in a good way. Yeah.
You'll get yourself sick on a class trip, and let me tell you, that's not very fun. In fact, I got a bit of a story
from
for you.
Someone who's experienced it firsthand.
Oh, geez.
I bet you've never walked around with throw up smelling shoes.
Here, take these.
I still have
them. This chain I wear around my neck.
Mm-hmm. We went to like the famous Chicago's deep dish pizza, Gino's East or whatever it was called. They're like, well, you know, no kids, you don't get your leftovers, whatever. And then turn to us like, do you guys want the leftovers? So we brought like five deep dish pizzas back to the room, which was the worst idea first and foremost, because in the morning there was like a grease stain on the chair.
They're not gonna fit in the mini fridge.
It was just like this soggy wet, like they're so, first off, fuck deep dish pizza, it's not very
I want to try them one time.
Oh, and it's definitely worth trying.
I've never actually tried
there one. Used to be a place in Toronto and it was pretty good. I don't know how authentic it was, though. That's the part.
I loved it.
I fucking hate
burnt to the ground.
As it should be.
I just went out of business like anything.
It's not comparable. They're two different things.
I was going to say, it's fine, but it's not pizza. Just call it something else.
I freaking love it. It's amazing. Good.
Call it a cheese quiche.
Tomato
call it
casserole.
A lasagna with like a cornmeal crust, and it's fine.
Well, and this is where like I don't think I've had an authentic E1 because even the deep dish pizza that was at the place here felt pizza-y enough. It didn't feel like a different animal, so it must not have been authentic enough.
Yeah, the Chicago deep dish that I had, it's like cornmeal crust, like a dime thick where it all meets, because you have to eat that. And then it's always sauce on top.
You
and
have like to. They make you.
I was just going to say
it's
that.
Really,
I have a gun to your head.
It's a really homogenous like sauce too. You know what I mean? Like it's just red. And they always put big slices of cheese on it. It's not shredded. And it's underneath the sauce. And then they put all the fucking things in there that, you know, they put like raw sausage balls. And they cook it for like an hour. Like a pizza is like an hour of cooking. It's like, again, it's like a lasagna.
It's amazing.
In a very different way.
How do you go to a restaurant and they're like, okay, thank you for your order, it'll be an hour.
So that's the thing. You well, 100%.
It says
order the pizza. You don't get a slice. You can't get a slice of that shit.
No,
you
of course.
Yeah, it says.
That's why I had so much left.
You know, be forewarned if you're ordering this, it takes 45 minutes.
Fair.
It says on the menu.
It's like a souffle.
I would go back to Chicago solely for that.
It's still better than that pizza in Hamilton that it has no cheese on it. It's just bread. It's just dough and then dry sauce.
Somebody served that to me once because Rach is from Hamilton and it was like, oh, it's the Hamilton thing. Come and have this. It's pizza. And I was very confused about what
it was. You mean toast?
I'm so sorry, Hamilton, but I think this is bad.
I also did not love it, but I was not prepared for what it was to like approach it as its authentic self. I approached it as if it was a pizza, and I was
you fool. I would approach it like a flatbread.
Yeah.
Oh, is this with the vodka penne sauce type stuff on top? The vodka sauce.
I don't get vodka sauce. I don't know. Maybe I've just never had one. I don't understand.
Like sort of just like a light
like cream and tomatoes.
Or... tomato sauce with vodka in it.
I don't think there's any vodka in vodka sauce. Yeah.
I want to get
it's
wrecked.
It's such a bull crap name because I've honestly been like,
waiting for the
I've
vodka.
Been waiting to get fucked up.
That might be kind of.
How much of the sauce do I need to drink?
I'm gonna eat all this whole pizza.
This grade 8 student pounding vodka sauce.
this intro is not cuttable.
I don't think it's an intro, but I don't know what it is. But we're
beautiful. It's
pieces. It's dynamic.
I look forward to this person who's got like vodka sauce and like a rum baba and is like, I'm going to get ripped tonight.
And the other guy's got mouthwash and he's like, hey, between the two of us, we're going to get fucked up.
And the mouthwash.
Vodka sauce.
Or those little like orange chocolates with liqueur in them.
Oh my god.
The combo of alternating shots of vodka and mouthwash.
Give me the mouthwash. Oh fuck, give me the
mouthwash.
Oh
no.
Oh my god. I threw up all over my shoes last night.
No.
I am confident that will get you fucked up. I'm not
in
sure it'll be fun, but it will do something to you if it hasn't already.
Oh, your mental state will be altered.
Speaking of getting fucked up,
god,
should we get fucked up?
Let's play D&D.
Oh my god, I forgot we have to record.
We are recording.
We're recording right now.
Oh boy.
Take us away to the realm of magic, Joe.
I will. All right.
The rubble from the explosion site in the graveyard is crawling with industrious dwarves, steadily clearing away boulders and debris and repairing any damage to the nearby grave sites. The crew's gruff chatter and the noise of their work is blunted by distance, though, to Doran and Doreen, deeper in the cemetery and sitting on a low stone wall just overlooking the Iron Fist graves, engaged in conversation. Doreen is looking much better and healthier than even just a few hours prior, the dull glaze in her eyes replaced by a sparkling vigor, her wrinkled brown skin no longer sallow and hanging. She even managed to rebraid her long silver hair into her customary style. And Doreen, as she sits beside you on this low stone wall, her hand on your knee, your hand on her hand, she's looking down at the grave of her husband and these place markers for your brother's bodies. She nods.
Yes, I do think there was always something the matter with Gautier. Though it got worse when you were gone. I think the power got to his head, maybe.
I don't know. To see someone fall so... And someone who really could have made Scarborough something more than what it is.
And she gets kind of a faraway look in her eyes.
You know, Mom, I'm really not as surprised as I once would have been to see your youthfulness bounce back so quickly. I've had a lot of experience with magic these days, especially with my newfound companions.
Yes.
They've certainly shown me different ways of life.
If I didn't know you to be a truthful, honest dwarf, I could barely believe half of the things you told me about cloud giants and finding things in the dirt and the sewer adventures.
I'll have to take you to see the cloud giant. I think I know where we could find him, but That would be an adventure. Something maybe when my friends and I are finished with the adventure that we're on right now. You know, speaking of magic and whatnot, you know, I can't help but feel a little bit relieved that to know that, you know, Gorn and Lauren, it was something magical and intentional that caused them to disappear like that into the abyss. You know, I'd been beating myself up for years over that, Mom. And it's just, well, it's pretty amazing to think that, you know, someone could stoop so low. I do miss them. And he sort of looks down at their graves longingly.
It's been, what, 80 years?
Yeah.
I never blamed you, Doran.
I blame myself. I blame myself for a lot of things.
Listen, losing my sons, your brothers, well, it would change anyone to lose their children like that. I always hoped that they would come home one day, but for the door to never open, it broke your father, especially. I don't think he really ever talked about it. But I always blamed myself, you know. It's a mother's job to take care of her children, and I should have maybe kept a closer eye on you, letting you wander the crags without supervision. It was never your fault, Doran.
Well, it wasn't your fault either. I think we need to accept and move on from, because, you know, I had nearly given up. I was in a completely different mindset than before I came home. You know, I thought you didn't want to see me and that things are going to be held over my head. You know, the guilt from my, you know, my decisions at war, and I'm not going to blame myself. And I couldn't be more thankful, you know, to my friends and for encouraging me to come home, and to you, obviously, for, you know, sticking with it and managing to just, you know, fight through whatever Gautier had put you through. I mean, you should be proud of yourself, Mom. And taking care of the city the way you've been. I mean, you've been a true Iron Fist, putting your foot down and standing up for the rights and wrongs. The stories you've been telling me in the last couple hours.
I try my best to be a community leader like you, Doran. You seem to be trying your best to be a leader amongst your friends. And for everything you've told me of the Ordning and how you got here, all of the crazy tales, this chef orc, and how you ended up in the sewers to get into our home, and even that interaction with a guard on the wall.
Yeah.
Listen, Doran.
Not my proudest moment.
She turns to you with pride in her eyes.
I don't think you were chosen for this ordning because of your leadership abilities, Doran, or your tactical knowledge, or certainly not your stealth. And you're a handsome boy, but God, sometimes the things you say.
Really seen by your mom here.
Listen, I think you are so much like your father. You try so hard to be someone you're not sometimes. But your father's strength was always measured in the times that he was able to improvise. It wasn't a measured plan. Every time he picked up a piece of metal in the forge, each hammer blow yielded a new option, and he would tell me long into the night about the things the metal would speak to him and how the story was ever changing. Doran, the things you tell me about your journey here, it makes me think of him. Many of your comrades in arms, the soldiers you fought alongside, have come back to Scarborough over the years. I know more than you tell me about the man who you tried to be. But I think if you'll take some advice from your mother before you go back out into the world and live through this prediction, this legacy, this path that you are on, I have some advice if you'll hear it.
Oh, Mom, I'm all ears.
I want you to follow your Iron Fist instincts. For better or for worse, that's why you were chosen to be part of this prophecy, after all. You don't have to change the dwarf that you are. You are good enough, son.
I will. I'll stay true. I'm not going to try and change who I am, and I think I've been becoming more comfortable with that even before you saying it. You know, I've been realizing that, hey, you know, maybe mistakes are made for a reason. And he embraces his mom with very little words. I'll be back.
I know you will.
And we're going to stay in touch this time.
Now,
she hands you from within the folds of her cloak a pry bar. And then she nods down
at your father's sarcophagus.
There's something in there that you should have.
Really?
Yes. I think it's time. Come help me.
All right.
The two of you prize open the lid of your father's sarcophagus, and you see him there, his remains, dressed in his finest, arrayed around him, all of the tools of his trade. It's a solemn moment there, the bones of your ancestors staring up at you, and your mother seems unaffected.
He shivers, because there's like this, like, wave of cool, damp air with a musty smell that comes over him, and he thinks about it for a second that this was his father's body at one point.
We'll all be bones eventually, son.
And she reaches in, and clasped in your father's hands, she withdraws a tool that is so familiar. Seeing it brings back a flood of memories to you, Doran. Memories of watching your father work his forge. He was a powerful, capable man, worthy of any child's admiration. And you recall him swinging this blacksmithing hammer, silhouetted by a burnt orange light, his young muscles gleaming in sweat, bent at his trade. He taught you your trade with this hammer, made your family name with this hammer. Iron Fist Steel. Its handle's finish is worn to a shining polish where his hand used to rest. And she gives you this hammer.
This is Dad's old hammer. Look at it. And Doran stares at it with like a strange familiarity.
Mm-hmm. Holding your father's hammer, standing beside your elderly mother, you are imbued with a renewed sense of confidence in your abilities. And with that, Doran, you gain the Great Weapon Master feat.
Oh, ooh, I wow. can see Rob Googling.
Thank you.
I think I know what it does, but I'm not 100% sure.
Tell us, nerd.
It's sharpshooter for weapons.
Perfect.
You take a negative to your attack, and it's your choice when you do it.
Right.
But when you hit, you add 10 damage.
You were talking about wanting to deal more damage. Here you go.
Oh, you're going to deal a lot more damage.
Yes, thank you so much. Wow, mother, I feel like this is going to really help me create some tools, hone my weaponry, and really just give me that edge I need in combat, because I've been feeling like I need it. This is one of the best gifts anybody's ever given me. Thank you so much. And he wraps his arms around his mother, nearly knocking her over.
Aw. Anyway, let's get back to the city, son. We have a big old block party brewing, and give you a big dwarven welcome home. The vibe down in Scarborough is raucous. The perfect collision of occasions coalesced with the dethroning of an unpopular city official, the return of a beloved and somewhat well-known citizen, and the dwarven predisposition to fucking party. As the shafts of sunlight that pierce the Scarborough cavern slant upwards and darken with the drawing night, braziers are lit with bonfires on the street corners in the neighborhood where Doran was raised. We see a giant party scene. Everyone who lives in a three-block radius seems to be in the streets. Everywhere you look, dwarves are cooking something, pouring drinks from a barrel, tuning up instruments, gathering in big groups to grandstand and laugh. And everywhere, someone is coming around to clap Doran on the back and offer him a word or two of welcome or a shared memory or gratitude for Gautier's removal.
Hell yeah, buddy! Red runs up to Doran as he comes back in with Doreen. Oh, where have you been? It's been kicking off here. It's like a city block party. The whole street is alive. Look, that guy's cooking dragon, I think.
Yeah, it really seems like it. Oh my gosh.
It's delicious, Doran! So smoky!
Well, enjoy yourself. Enjoy yourself, Red.
Red casts silence. Just to make all this easier for Edley.
Oh, I'm
Red's
sorry.
Red's got real sympathy with that teasing editor. I don't know.
He's kicking you in the face. He's turning.
I gotta cast that so much more.
For real?
Spam silence. Yeah. We wake up first thing in the morning.
Silence.
I cast silence.
On a podcast. It's like empty podcast.
Mm-hmm. Just narrate.
It's so good. Red runs over to Jack and Mari and throws a hand over each. Ah, feels good to help a city. We didn't even try to, you know. We thought Gautier was a good guy at first, and it turns out he was a jerk. And God, I love when that happens. It's always bad when the opposite is the case.
Wait, what if you tell us the opposite?
Doesn't matter. More dragon.
Mari's a few drinks in at this point, and she's been doing party tricks where, like, she uses shape water to, like, funnel beer to people's glasses and those so they can, like, siphon it out of the air.
Oh, no.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah, basically creating, like, an invisible funnel for people to drink their beer yeah. out of.
The Genasi beer bong is
like a magical keg stand.
That's fun.
Yeah, so she's just been doing that. She's been having a blast because yeah.
whether they like it or not.
Yeah. A few people have not been thrilled with it, and that's where Jack has to come pull her back.
Like, you gotta warn people about that. Just
she's learned now. Now she asks.
Well, good. They don't party like us though. It warms up. I mean, Jack is. Hanging out with Mari, trying to keep her out of trouble, but not having too much to drink. He's sort of just, he's, you know, being his party wallflower self.
Mari's just like, you're not my dad, Jack. Yeah. You're not my dad. You can't tell me what to do.
I'm not telling you to stop. I'm just saying.
Whatever. I'm going to go party with these guys. They seem fun.
Tomorrow, you's going to have some thoughts about this.
I will, and I will regret everything. But until then, I'm living my best life.
Good. Don't let me stand in your way.
Yeah, Mari, the bartender from Gorgon's Tavern is there with a group of people that you sort of wander up next to, and he throws his arm over you and he's like, the bar is saved. I don't have to repay any more of those damn taxes.
Oh, wait a second.
Does the city not have taxes anymore because we arrested one of three politicians?
Municipal taxes?
What? Taxes? To hell with them.
Red, like, walks up to the other side.
I have questions to ask about your system if it takes, like, only one guy to end all taxes within here. Do you mean, like, bribes? Are you bribed with, like, was he asking
I'm
for,
not
like,
sure whether he understands what's happening less or we do. That's the
you don't need to pay anymore? It's
free beer.
I mean, he was a bad guy, and listen, let's not worry too much about it.
No, I'm not talking about libertarianism right now.
After another beer.
All I'm saying is I should only pay for the services that I'm going to be using.
Oh, no.
All right, buddy. Okay. All right. My first thought was when he put his arm over Mari, he's like half her height.
Mm-hmm. So he's got one really long arm, so don't worry. It's really, that's why he became a bartender, is so that he can sling beers.
The old long arm bartender.
Excellent.
But you don't have to pay taxes because he's taken out? Isn't someone going to take over his role? How does that work?
Well, Gautier was... I don't want to say outright that he was doing some shady dealings, but it's been...
Oh, were his man-at-arms, like, shaking you down? Was he taking some from the coffer, as they say?
Yes. And some people are thinking that he was stealing from the city as well, so...
Oh, so it all kind of balances out. You know, you never know what one hand is doing with the other hand. Red's, like, looking behind him, like, just, like, softly... touching the back of his pouch to see if there's any money in it. He's like, yeah, you never know, and you gotta make sure you're always watching around. Let me get you a drink, bartender.
Your own bar.
And Red runs over to a keg that, like, a dwarf is, like, on the stoop of a house, like, pouring. You know, he's, like, tipping it and pouring beers. Like, it's, like, strong. He grabs a mug and hands another to Mari and hands another to this guy. Bottoms up!
Doran, this familiar face emerges from the crowd. This is a female dwarf named Grublin Dimax, who's always had a thing for you. And she's like,
Doran Ironfist, you're back.
Oh, hello, Grublin.
So nice to see you in the city.
I'm not going to be in town for too long. I'm sorry.
Oh, tragic. You know, your mother always has the nicest things to say about you. And you've been off on these wild adventures.
Yeah, well, we're going to be back on an adventure soon enough, you know, so don't get your hopes up. Sorry, I can't stick around.
So where are you staying tonight?
I got you a gun rack.
I've got...
So you got me an axe rack.
But he does have an axe is the problem. It's got to be like a bolt. Yeah. It's got to be a bow rack or something. Or like, yeah. I got you a quiver.
Brett.
I'll take it.
Red's like, mine.
Tonight, we have accommodations already lined up. Sorry.
I won't hear of it.
Well,
you have to come and stay
Red
with us.
Red sees this and he like walks up. He's like, oh, and he like pushes Doran aside. And Red is not the kind of person to be saving Doran, but still recognizing the scene and instead chooses to be more annoying than the woman to the woman. Mm. And he's like, you said you have a place to stay? Don't worry, I'm here for you. And I don't have shoes or nothing, so I don't need to leave nothing by the front door. It's a little muddy, but... And he like turns the woman and like starts walking away.
Oh no, Doran.
And as he walks away, he like winks over his shoulder to Doran. And he's like, so tell me all about dwarven customs.
Bye, Grublin. Meanwhile, Doran's looking at his tankard again. He's like, oh, yeah, I'm out of ale. I need to go find ale. And he's looking around in every possible direction.
Yeah, Mari stole it.
There's a keg over here, Doran.
And floated away.
Yeah, well, there's Jack. I better go see him.
At that moment, a trumpet sounds, a dwarven trumpet, and a pie-eating contest is announced. These tables are rolled out from who knows where, and these huge steaming pastries are laid out in front of chairs, and people are being coerced into sitting down in front of these pies.
So is that eel pie, Doran? Is that where you're headed?
I don't know, but he kind of looks scaredly back at Grublin, who's like clawing to get past Red.
Like looking over her shoulder.
And Doran's like, I don't know, but I think I've got to get in that competition right now.
You're the hero. Go, go.
Someone's trying to sit down and you like fucking move them out of the way, musical chair style.
I do love the idea that like Red sits down next to you and Grublin's just gone. And you're like, where's Grublin? Don't worry about it. Red wipes his hands with blood. Or just like something ominous.
Oh my God. She won't be bothering you again.
I've taken care of it.
She won't be anywhere again.
She's in the pies.
That was fast.
Mm-hmm.
Red is efficient. I use my feline speed to...
Magic. Doran, you sit down. Anyone else want to be part of this pie-eating competition?
Yeah, I mean, I do. I feel like... I don't know how I would get out of this chick, but I would just introduce it to... I'd create a minor illusion over the face of a statue that looks like Doran.
You know what? I love the idea of Doran going to like try and get in this pie, and Jack's kind of following him along, and then dwarves sweep up around him and are like, oh, you two, you're friends of his. Get up at this table. And Jack is just like sweating already.
From the crouchy. Yeah. No, stay.
So how does this work, Doran?
I'll pie with you.
Excellent.
Red sits down hard next to Doran and Jack.
We'll make it a team competition. And Doran kind of points. He gets the attention of the
pie commissioner.
The pie commissioner,
yes.
Thank you.
The pie missioner.
Listen, chief of pies is an important role in Scarborough.
He kind of waves at him. He says, commissioner, oh, we also need her. And Doran points across the room at Mary.
No.
It's Mary, Doran.
At Mary, who's attempting to siphon alcohol out of people's drinks and doing little party tricks with water. And
yes, the commissioner of pies does an exaggerated bow towards you, Doran. One further pie is added to the tables, and then Mari, you are like crowd surfed up to this table. The four of you sit side by side. It goes Jack with the myconid on his shoulder, then Doran, then Red, then Mari, and the four of you sit looking down at your pies.
Thank you to our wonderful patrons, Adam Fry, Afflicted Adina, Aizu Yukai, Allison Wrights, Merlin, Anne, Atholagoth, Axel, Barry Jennett, Casey, Cecil Lee Wilson, Sherry Rose Anderson, Christopher, Colin Burkhart, Crow, Daniel, Dippity, Flynn, Gareth Bradshaw, Haley, Hop of the Mox, JD, Joy Robinson, Julie Holderman, Jory, KR, KM, Cade, Lasagna, Last Ruth on the left, Leader J, Liz, Lorelei Feldman, Manda Pants, Merrick's Moon, Matilda Rushing, Melinda Curley, Moo Stone, Oakland, Quill Bennett, Regan, Wren, Scotty, Shannon Waldner, S-Ray 96, Tegan, Tea Kettle, Tony Pepperoni, Trin, Waffle 427, Xander Morning Dove, Zach House, and Zephyrus. Thank you so much! Woo!
This is pretty strange, but not the first time I've dug up a corpse, I don't think. Is it? Yeah. No, we have, haven't we?
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
We're literal grave robbers 90% of the time in this show.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's okay that I turned down Grublin, right?
Oh, God, absolutely. I was okay, anticipating good. That.
I didn't figure you had more to that scene, so I swept her away.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I was like, I can see you're diving in here with no out. I'll just make an out.
I'm very Normally much I'm... like Alex, actually, in that respect.
No, don't. That's not fair. Don't say that about yourself.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.